Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd take hold of my words, the words I've prepared, and change them into something that will be your living word for each of us, that you would speak into our hearts and minds and transform our lives through Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Christ the King, the feast day with which the church year ends. As a bit of a fan of the Lord of the Rings, it always brings to mind a sentence that stuck in my mind anyway from film and I think book. Authority is not given to you, steward, to deny the return of the King. If I've got it right, it's Denethor seeking to put Lord, sorry, it's Gandalf seeking to put Lord Denethor, steward or vice-regent of Gondor, in his place. So that strand of the plot in Lord of the Rings is of the true king returning to unite the peoples, to fight evil, and to bring justice to the land. And is as such, I think it gives, at least for those who got involved in the mythology of Lords of the Rings, that gives a picture of the hope, of Christian hope, that Christ will one day come as true king, that he will defeat evil, rule the world with justice, and bring peace. And of course, in the meantime, we look out for the signs of his rule among us and seek to cooperate with it. But at the same time, we recognize that the powers of earth, that's the rulers and authorities, and the powers within our own hearts, our wayward human nature, tend to put up resistance. We've been given a great deal to steward, to look after, to direct, and we've rather got used to having our own way with them. At Christ's coming, or our coming to him, our encounter with him, we are held to account for our stewardship. Stewardship of all he's given us as individuals, how we've used each gift, talent, and opportunity. And as a society, how we treat one another. And as the human race, how we care for the face of the earth. Big things, our judgment day. We don't talk about judgment day very much in church these days. Maybe it isn't quite nice enough for us. We need to be nice in church, we often think. There was a time, of course, when every church in the land greeted, if that's the right word, the worshipper with lurid pictures or carved scenes of doomsday. The fire and torment for the unjust on the one side, which sort of captured the imagination of the artists rather more than what's on the other, the heavenly rewards for the righteous. It was unavoidable, it was in your face. And then when painted pictures went out of fashion, fire and brimstone preachers conjured up even more frightening pictures with their words. I think I'm quite glad we don't do that anymore. Well, I don't think we do it anyway. But, that he will come again to judge both the living and the dead remains part of our creed. And it seems to me we fool ourselves if we try and write it out completely out of our faith. The idea of judgment is said to be off-putting. But, well, it may be off-putting, but being held to account is actually something that we understand that is fully part of normal life. And we normally think actually that it raises the standards, it puts a bit of pressure on. You know, the script presented to the examiner, the accounts to be audited, the school prepared for Ofsted, all suggests that judgment is part of our social DNA. We're used to it and we deal with it. So why should we fear to recognize that our lives will go under the scrutiny of our Maker? Surely this is much better than the now near universal judgment that we get through social media, the Twitters and all the rest. Because there is no sympathy, no mercy, and no forgiveness. Whereas our Lord's judgment has integrity, because he's been through it all. Jesus, born on earth, has experienced the full challenge of human existence. And Jesus, our Lord in heaven, knows us through and through, every part of our lives individually, seen from the inside. So we can trust him for both justice and mercy. And I think we need both, the world needs both justice and mercy if wrongs are to be righted and peace and harmony of the kingdom of God are to be brought in. In the Bible, the main picture of a ruler or a judge is the shepherd. A shepherd who cares for his people, who leads them, tends them, finds pasture for them, and protects them. But so often those leaders got it wrong. The prophet Ezekiel, that we heard in our first reading, pours scorn on shepherds, or kings, who exploit their sheep or subjects. But, he says, the Lord's own shepherding will be just. And just to pick out a couple of things from that, normally we'd think, well, a shepherd would favour strong sheep, big sheep, fat sheep. They've been fattened up for slaughter. But this shepherd is on the side of the lean ones, the skinny ones, the little ones, the ones who get butted and bounced around by their big sisters. And also, actually it's a line missed out of the reading that we had, but these big sheep, it says, muddy the waters. They'd go down to the streams and the ponds to drink, have what they wanted and churn it all up so that the little ones coming on later didn't have any decent water to drink. The true shepherd, Ezekiel says, will bring justice to the neglected, the bullied, the abused. That will be the difference. And then Jesus' parable takes up that imagery again of the shepherds separating the sheep from the goats. And in the Middle East, shepherds actually do this. It's not terribly easy to tell a sheep from the goat. I've been in Palestine, I've noticed that an animal wandering by the road, if it is a sheep, is it a goat? Can't tell. Sheep and goats look very much the same on the outside, but he doesn't judge by appearances. He judges by behaviour towards himself, and that means how they behave also towards the person who bears his image, who bears the image of God, particularly when that person is in need. So, see them hungry or thirsty, he says, naked or homeless or ill, a stranger or a prisoner. What do you do about it? Do you walk by on the other side? Or do you say, that could be Jesus? For that matter, it could be me. What I do? It's a matter of compassion, of fellow feeling, just as Jesus feels for us. Matter of seeing situations through other people's eyes rather than our own, just as Jesus sees through their eyes and ours. This is a parable that pricks the conscience perhaps more than any other, because there is always more we can do and often more we should do. But it's not just about compassion, although compassion is important. It's also a matter of justice. No one deserves to be on the streets. And if there is to be justice for each of these, then the followers of the just king had better be doing something about it. For reasons of justice, it's important that we seek to address the causes of hunger and homelessness, as well as respond to immediate needs. I think it was Oscar Romero who said, "I fed the hungry and they called me a saint. I asked why they were hungry and they called me a communist." Organisations like Christian Aid and Children's Society, ones we support, not only give direct support to people in need, but campaign for social change. Now, sometimes I, and probably some of you, feel a bit uncomfortable about this because it seems a bit too political. You can't always see what they're asking for or whatever. It may not be our opinions. But I think it's really, really important that they engage with it, and that maybe at that bit of distance, or as we seek to understand it more, we're engaging with the issues and looking for the justice of God involved in them. And actually, as you come to grapple with it, you see the point usually more than you might from just responding to a news headline. So it matters. It's part of justice, part of God's justice, that we're engaged in finding justice in our society. And that, I believe, is good news. We see the judge negatively so often, but it's good news that justice can come. In the news this week, we've watched outbursts of spontaneous joy from Zimbabwe, people dancing in the streets. The announcement that Robert Mugabe has stood down as president. They hope and believe it's an end of injustice. Those celebrating Zimbabweans, see it as an end to unjust rule, a ruler who's been in office longer than most of them have been alive. They hope for an end to arbitrary imprisonment, land grabs, and intimidation by government-backed thugs. We pray those hopes may be realised. We know there's a long way to go for that to happen. But it just seemed to me as I was watching it that that jubilation speaks of a hope for justice that's set deep in every human heart. And it's there in every human heart because justice is in the heart of God. Made in his image. That's what we long for and seek. The big story of the Bible is about God's purposes to restore justice to the earth, ultimately through the coming of his Son as King and Judge. And so we should, as we think of his coming, think of the rejoicing that it will bring. Think the day when his judgment ends all injustice in the world. And then think what we, each one of us, can be doing on the side of justice right now, so that we may resist evil and be ready to welcome the return of the King.